Let's take us back to earlier times, Craig, if you remember.
12th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Danny Shelton, defensive tackle, Washington.
Scott, doesn't that seem like so long ago?
It really does.
Scott,
I'll tell you what, that draft takes forever. And by Saturday night, it felt like Danny Shelton had been about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram joins us this morning to talk about that. We had the 12th pick in the draft, and we ended up with 12 draft picks. I'm just kind of doing numerology on us here this morning. And then I told Craig, well, that means the jury, 12, would still be out on how well this draft came about, but everybody's given us a grade. Give us your insight into how the weekend went for our Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a good draft. I don't think it was a great draft. And I think you can quibble with a few of the picks and a few of the places certain players were taken. Overall, I think the Browns addressed a number of their needs, not all of them. Seemed to stay true to their draft board, didn't reach, made a couple trades, added picks. And with the, you know, the draft is such a crapshoot that the more picks you have, the better chance you have of landing, you know, better players. You know, if you get 12 picks and half of them turn out, then you get six good players, and that's, you know, better odds than if you only had six picks like they did last year. So overall, I thought it was solid, but I can't get away from the fact that they didn't address the quarterback situation. And I think that, you know, you enter the offseason program and training camp soon to come, and they don't have anything better than Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel. And I just can't get past that. I think they needed to do something at quarterback and failed to do that.
Is it possible, Scott, that Josh might surprise people? And he had one sort of partial nice season, what, one or two back?
Yeah, it was in 2013. I mean, sure, anything's possible, but I mean, the guy's 35 going on 36. He went 1-10 last year. There's a chance, and I'm sure that the Browns feel more optimistic about him than I do and many of, you know, the media and many of the fans. They look at him as a stable guy, a guy who's been in the league a long time, a big guy with a strong arm. I think he has certain qualities that Brian Hoyer didn't have, and one of those is the size and the arm. He's a prototypical type of quarterback. But I think he was a downgrade from Brian Hoyer, and I assume Ray Farmer would argue with me because he made the decision to bring in McCown and let Hoyer go. So there's a chance that if you surround him with a big-time running game, not saying the Browns will have that, but that's their goal, and you surround him with a really good defense and you play close to the vest in tight games, that maybe they'll be at the same spot they were last year with Hoyer playing average to slightly above average, which was 7-4, and a chance to do something, the first place in the division. So I think there's a chance. I think there's also the chance that Johnny Manziel comes out of nowhere and starts to live up to all that draft hype and the belief that the Browns had that he was a first-round draft pick. Now, that's a huge if, looking at how he played last year and the fact that he spent 10 weeks in a rehab facility in the offseason. But if you're trying to find what's the upside for this team, to me it would be that Johnny Manziel discovers the old Johnny Manziel as a football player and turns out to be the kind of quarterback that, let's say, Russell Wilson is in Seattle, and you have the rest of the roster, and all of a sudden he's the final piece that allows you to contend. Now, like I said, that's a giant if, but I think those are the two spots, or the two chances the Browns have to take the next step, is if Manziel comes out of nowhere or McCown plays well enough, better than Hoyer did last year, to get the Browns back to where they were first place in division.
It does sound like there's a whole lot of wishing and hoping going on here.
Well, that's my point. That if you don't, in my opinion, their quarterback situation is not good. Josh McCown was 1-10 last year. Johnny Manziel was terrible in the seven quarters he played. Yet those are your two candidates to start next year. So, and my thought is, no matter how good the rest of the roster is, let's say those other 50 guys on the roster, if you don't have that quarterback, your ceiling is lower, and your margin for error is so much smaller. You know, Mike Pettine talks about winning games with defense and running. And, well, if we put our quarterback in a great situation, we don't ask him to do a lot. Well, the fact of the matter is, your quarterback needs to do a lot. There are games that have to be won in the fourth quarter. You're going to fall behind by two scores in games, no matter how good your defense is. And your quarterback's going to need to make plays to win you games. And not having seen Josh McCown up close in person yet, not having seen the new Johnny Manziel out of rehab, I don't have a whole lot of reason to think the Browns quarterback will make those plays, especially when you compare him to the Ben Roethlisbergers and Joe Flaccos of the division. Now, that's not to say you can't win games playing good defense and running the ball, but I think, and if you look at all the playoff teams that are perennial playoff teams, they have the league's best quarterbacks, and I don't think Ray Farmer spends enough time, or maybe not spends enough time, I don't think he has made a strong enough commitment to finding the franchise quarterback, and until he does, the Browns won't be a perennial playoff team.
Scott, the NFL is always about some trendsetter. Maybe this is the new trend, and we're going to start it that way, where the quarterback won't be as important as it patiently. I'm wishing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's not 1962. You need a quarterback to play in this league. Now, like I said, you can win games, and you can go to the playoffs with surrounding the quarterback with the roster. And I think Cincinnati does that to a degree. I like Andy Dalton better than I like what the Browns have. But when Brian Hoyer was playing well last year, I'm not sure there's a huge gap between Andy Dalton and Brian Hoyer. And Cincinnati's been to the playoffs, I don't know if it's three straight years. They haven't won any playoff games, but they've been to the playoffs three straight years, and they have a really solid roster around the quarterback. So I think there's ways to win without it. So I'm not writing off the season. We're months away from training camp, so I don't want to be all doom and gloom. I'm just saying from a big-picture standpoint, the draft is one of those points where you say, okay, let's look at the roster. And I look at the roster and say, I don't understand why Ray Farmer didn't find a quarterback. I'm not saying you had to trade up for Marcus Mariota. What I'm saying is at some point, at least add to the pile, because a quarterback, let's say they took a quarterback in the fourth round, Bryce Petty. We don't know if he's going to be any good. But if he did turn out to be good, he has such a greater impact on your team than the cornerback, safety, and receiver that the Browns wound up taking in the fourth round.
And in this era, teams don't go too far scoring 21 points a game.
They don't. I mean, you know, you can say, okay, well, the 2000 Ravens won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer for a quarterback. Okay, that's fine, but they had Ray Lewis, the greatest linebacker of all time, Ed Reed, a Hall of Fame safety, and you can keep listing guys on their defense, and they had Jamal Lewis have a great year at running back. Well, the Browns, while I think their roster is solid and compares outside of quarterback with the teams in their division and many teams throughout the league, nothing has shown that they have any Hall of Fame guys outside of Joe Thomas. So your roster it can't just be solid. You have to have difference makers, and I think that's another area where Ray Farmer hasn't quite found those guys yet. I don't see a difference maker at receiver. You know, maybe they got a difference maker at running back in Duke Johnson, third-round pick. I really like him. You know, is Payshon Gibson starting to be a difference maker? I think Joe Hayden's a difference maker. Now they need a difference-making pass rusher, and maybe they got that in the second round in Nate Orchard. But I think while the roster continues to get deeper and stronger, I don't think it's top-heavy enough, and that's probably where they're separate from the playoff teams, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Green Bay, teams like that.
It's about time we got a guy named Duke.
Duke Johnson.
I love Duke.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you're going to run the ball, which the Browns are going to do, then you have to have guys who can, you have to have running backs who can do it. And while Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell were solid as rookies, you know, they're far from all-stars, far from Pro Bowlers. Each of them had their ups and downs. Each of them had run-ins with the coaching staff. I like the fact that they brought in Duke Johnson. He's a different kind of back. He's a third-down back. He can be a third-down back. He can catch a ball to the backfield. He's more explosive than the two kind of bruisers. I like his addition, especially when I thought in the offseason in free agency they should have signed a veteran guy to bring in and kind of mentor these young guys and take the load until those guys are ready. Instead, they went younger, which is fine, and I like the fact that this guy gives them an explosiveness that they did not have before.
Ifo Ekpre Olomou. Did I get that right?
I don't know. It's Ifo. That's what we're calling him.
Going with the nickname on that. But it is amazing that we had 12 picks and none of them were a quarterback. You'd think somewhere they could throw somebody on the pile. Apparently we'll have a lot of good special teams players that'll be working on the the kickoff and the punt returns for a while, I suppose.
Right, and like I said, I think the if you take the quarterbacks out of the equation, I think the rest of the other 50 guys on the roster, it's probably as deep as this roster has been, maybe since the expansion era. We haven't seen these guys on the field, these new draft picks. But I've thought for the last 2-3 years that the roster was getting better and pretty much close to on par with most of the teams in the division, outside of quarterback, maybe outside of that big time receiver. When you take Josh Gordon away from the equation, when Josh Gordon was there, I think they had that elite receiver. They had guys across the roster on both sides of the ball that could compete in this league. But like I said, the deficiency is a quarterback. Now, Ifo, this last pick in the draft, was a solid pick because he might not even play this year. He's coming off a torn ACL. But he would have been a first or second round pick if he hadn't gotten hurt. So let's assume he gets better. All of a sudden, you're adding to the roster. You find a guy who will contribute, and that's what you do when you have 12 picks. You take a flyer like that. And they address some needs. I think they helped their run defense with Danny Shelton, the first pick. That was a solid pick. They added depth on the offensive line. I thought that wasn't a pressing need, but they decided, hey, if we're going to be a pound-the-ball team, if we're going to dominate the lines of scrimmage, we need to improve the offensive line, and that's fine. And they addressed other areas. They got a tight end, but he's been hurt before. I think the safety from Northwestern will be a special teamer and might be able to, step in for Dante Whitner as Dante Whitner gets older. They finally drafted a receiver who's got some upside, but is far from a proven commodity. He had production, but he's a former basketball player, doesn't run crazy fast. So they got some pieces and they got volume, but I don't know if you can come out of this draft saying they transformed the franchise. And really, the only pick that's ever going to do that is probably a quarterback.
So that's going to be the question every time that the Browns are in front of the media. What's the quarterback situation? How's our quarterback situation? What's it going to be?
Right, and I think we have to come to grips with the fact that it's Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, and that's fine, and we'll see how that plays out. The feeling is that Josh McCown will be the starter, that Johnny's going to have to prove that he deserves a chance. There's a lot of unanswered questions there. And there is a chance that Josh McCown is a steadying, solid force, and that the rest of the roster has been improved enough that they can go out and win games like that. I'm just saying it's not the easiest way to win games, and I don't know how long that can last unless you have that big-time quarterback.
So what's going on now for you and the Browns, and is that Hard Knocks thing happening, or what's the situation now going forward for our Browns?
Well, first, the Hard Knocks thing has not been announced yet. The Browns asked not to be on there, but the league did not make any promises. I think they're looking for a team to volunteer, but that has not been announced. And then for me, it never stops. We have rookie minicamp over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. Danny Shelton and all the guys will be here, along with some of the undrafted free agents that they signed and some tryout guys. So that's this weekend. And then the off-season program continues, and we'll start. I assume we'll have Johnny Manziel talk for the first time one of these weeks. And then they practice. We're allowed to watch them. I think it's starting at the end of May. It's 3 or 4 Tuesdays in a row. And then there's a mandatory mini camp in June, and it's 3 days, and that kind of wraps up the off season. So there'll be Browns news for the next month and a half, and then we get a little bit of a break, and then training camp.
Sounds good. Scott, we appreciate all you do, and thanks for the time this morning. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys.
Scott Petrick with the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read him every day in the Chronicle. It seems like with the Browns, everything's happening there all the time, all the different angles going on.